see you this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. It's great to see a lot of new talent coming into the church, a lot of singers. I may never get to sing a solo again. Somebody had a request about my singing the other day, and I said, I'm going to sing anyway. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. But at any rate, that's great to hear that and to have these God sending us some more folks. We may have to have Music Month instead of Music Sunday that way. Brother Coker's happy. The Red River Shootout, or whatever they call it, and Oklahoma won. How many of you Oklahoma fans won? So you're in trouble. You're in the wrong crowd. You may want to go to another class. But anyway, they beat Texas, and that's always a great event and like that. But it's good to see you here. Let me encourage you to invite somebody for Open House Sunday next Sunday. Now, don't take these beautiful things and just stick them on your dresser or in your pocket or in your purse and forget them. That's where a lot of them wind up. But what we want to do is go to somebody and invite them to come. And we have friends, most of us, and relatives and associates and neighbors and folks that we could if we just put a little effort forth and let them know. And be good if you could do it today or tomorrow so they'll have time to plan if you haven't already done that. Some of you have, and that's a good thing, and we appreciate that. We're looking forward to a great day in the Lord, an open house Sunday, and let's pray for it and work hard, and God will bless it tremendously. And you say, well, I invite a lot of people, and they won't come, but sometimes you get the ones you wouldn't have got if you hadn't invited the ones you didn't get. Amen? That's just the way it works sometimes in the Lord's work, but he wants us to be faithful. All right, let's look at the Revelation 8 as we're talking about the seventh seal and the beginning of the trumpets. This is the last of the seven seals, and we went into a little recess, a little parenthesis in chapter 7 from chapter 6, where we had the different seals being opened by Christ, the Lamb of God, and all of those seals open until the seventh, and then it stopped, and then we have what we had in our lesson last week, which was of great interest to it. And here we have the last of the seven, marking the prophetic judgments of God that are going to come, the prophetic judgments of God. And now it resumes from where it left off in chapter 6. You'll see that these plagues, many of them, parallel the plagues that were given to the Egyptians and Pharaoh during that time. They're very similar because they're dealing with judgment. And why not? Because the whole world at that time will be asking the exact same question that Pharaoh was asking. And you remember that question was, who is the Lord that we should serve him? We're seeing that in our society today, aren't we? People just, who's God? Why should we do right? Why should we serve the Lord? That's one reason we're in the mess we're in this country, because God has sort of taken his hand off of us. If we don't have a revival, I'm afraid he's going to take it off more. But we know that God is going to judge those things. And people who are saying, where's God? Who is God? And we don't believe these things are going to happen. And we don't believe God is going to judge this world. That's just something that ignorant people who don't know any better believe. Well, I believe the Bible. How about you? And you can call me ignorant if you want to, but I believe the Word of God, and I know you do too. And I'm sure that we are aware of what's going to come because God has shown us at least not all the little details, but quite a few of them. Now, first of all, we look at the opening of the seventh seal, chapter 8 and verse 1. Look at it there if you will. And when he had opened the seventh seal, the recess of chapter 7 is over, back to the seals, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Somebody says, you think that was literally half an hour? I think so. I see no reason to think it was anything different from what God is saying right here. This, I believe, is the most important seal so far out of all seven of the seals. and the rest of the developments leading to the second coming of Christ. By the way, he is coming again, isn't he? There are two parts of that. We broaden it out to say the second coming, but first the rapture, and then the 7-year tribulation, and then the return of Christ, which is more exactly the return or the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the second coming of Christ. And so the rest of the developments leading to the second coming of Christ are contained in the seventh seal that we're looking at, including the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowls of God's wrath. The judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowls of God's wrath. And remember that God is a God who will judge, and God is a God of wrath when he has to be, even though he's a God of love. And he certainly gives plenty of mercy for people to get their hearts right with God. Now, he mentions here 30 minutes of silence. This is right on the heels of praising of the Lord. Look back in chapter 7 and verses 10 and 11. We see them praising the Lord. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, so be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." Here in chapter 7, they're praising God. It's a crescendo of great praise to the glory of God and tremendous praise to the Father and also to the Lamb. But all of a sudden, suddenly, there's silence. After all of this takes place, great praise, recognizing and being reminded of who God is, the Lamb of God. And this is the lull, the quiet time just before the storm. In about every storm, there's a quiet, peaceful time just before the storm hits. And that's what we're seeing here, a quiet time. And then all of a sudden, God's wrath is going to be poured out. The lull before the storm. Something tremendous is going to happen. Pause. 30 minutes of silence in heaven, because something of great, great, tremendous value and an uproar of the earth's economy and all kinds of things, we're going to see that is going to take place. And I think this 30 minutes of silence, this silence in heaven, shows the importance of what's fixing to transpire as these judgments amplify. I think it could be compared to the silence before a foreman in a jury when they come out and they report the verdict. And many times we've seen that. Maybe we've watched with anticipation over a period of time somebody that's a murderer, or that they suspicion is a murderer, maybe taken two or three lives and they're pretty sure of it. And then the jury goes out and they deliberate, maybe in one day, maybe longer, and then they come back and they ask if the foreman of the jury has arrived at a verdict, if they've arrived at a verdict. And sometimes it seems like there's a pause there and everybody's waiting. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? And so we have that kind of thing happening here, silence, because something of tremendous importance is going to take place. So we have the opening of that seventh seal. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Then in verses 2 through 6, we have the introduction of the seven angels. And John records the vision that he has of these seven trumpets, these seven angels given to the seven angels, these trumpets standing before God. They are in the presence of God at the throne of God. These angels that he talks about in verse 2, "I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Seven angels and seven trumpets. The judgments are symbolized by these trumpets. And that is significant. You see that throughout the Bible. And here we have these seven trumpets. These trumpets were sounded for important occasions, important events. And that's why it's used here. It sounded at times of public assembly, and sometimes it is sounded to direct soldiers in wartime so that they'd know. We've all seen the movies where the guy starts blowing the trumpet and then they say charge, everybody's getting ready. And so they did that back then to direct the soldiers in war. And they were sounded for almost every important occasion that came up. This was something that they did in that day. And the important events that were on the Jewish calendar, many times they would sound the trumpets because of that. For instance, in Exodus 19:19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. It's always associated with something like that, something of importance. Leviticus 23:24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation, representing this day of Sabbath, this having a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Joel mentions something like that about judgment in Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The trumpet sounding because of something important, something drastic that's going to take place. And so that's why the trumpets are used, being symbolic of the seven different judgments and the seven angels. Seven is always used in the Bible as a number of completion, and we see it over and over and over, and this is no exception to that. So we have the seven trumpets, and then we have the golden censer that is used in verse 3. And another angel came, notice not one of these seven, but another angel came, and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. In the Old Testament, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he went in with a golden censer, and they gave him a lot of incense to be used. And so, having a golden censer, there was given unto him, this angel, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers, the incense, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so this is a beautiful picture that we see, a heavenly sight. It's a picture of the prayers of the saints. And the golden altar there is mentioned in verse 3. When you would go back to the tabernacle or the temple, either one of those, right in front of the veil was the golden altar. And so that altar was used for the burning of incense. And he's referring to a similar setup and a similar situation right here. And it's another beautiful picture of the prayers of saints being offered. A beautiful picture of the prayers of saints as it is seen from heaven's side. We may see them from our side, but this is a view from heaven's side. And so the prayer of the saints are going up, and they're mixed with incense. Incense is a sweet savor, something that smells good. And so the prayers and the incense are mingled, and they go up before God as something that is pleasant. You know, God wants us to pray, doesn't he? And we ought to pray. And our prayers are not in vain. And even when we get to where we don't know what to say, we have the Holy Spirit who can make utterances for us that we're not even able to utter. We know that the Spirit of God, when we get to a certain place and we don't even know what to say, he just takes over and helps us out in that. And he makes intercession for us, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, with utterances that we cannot even speak, things we don't even know. But God likes our prayers, and I hope you prayed this morning. I hope you prayed for Pastor Gillett. I hope you prayed for the services. If you didn't, you were too busy, you got up too late, okay? We need to pray for the services and pray that God would bless. And God is pleased when we pray, unless we regard iniquity in our hearts, and then we have to do something about that. But this is a beautiful picture. That incense was symbolic of worship and prayer when we studied in the Bible. and a reminder that intercession to the Lord is as a sweet fragrance, a sweet smell, like you might smell a nice roast cooking as you walk in your house that your wife has ready for you just before meal and say, man, does that smell good? Well, God says your prayers are sweet incense to me. Now, the censer is also here used for judgment. Look in verse 5. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, verse 5, and filled it with fire of the altar. And he took some fire, and there was always fire on the altar. He took the fire, the coals off the altar, and threw it down, cast it where? Into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. This speaks of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And so the censer is used for judgment as we see it here in verse 5. And then God is going to answer the prayers of those who were being persecuted. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 10. And you remember there in precatory prayer in verse 10 where they cried unto the Lord with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These people who had been killed and martyred during the tribulation period are crying out and saying, Lord, how long before you judge those wicked people that are on the earth? And in the Psalms, you will find what are called imprecatory Psalms, where the psalmist is praying that God would come down with his wrath on the enemies. And you say, well, that doesn't keep within the New Testament principle of praying and loving enemies and all of that. Here's the deal. They had already sinned away the grace of God. They were already in the judgment of God, and the wrath of God was already upon them in the mind of God. And they're just saying, God, carry out your sovereign will. Carry out your sovereign plan. We know you're going to judge them. And so we're asking, it doesn't have to do with personal vengeance. It has to do with saying, oh God, pour out your wrath. Do what we know you're going to do. Judgment is going to come. It's also an answer to our prayer when we are praying to the Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And we've been taught to pray that for years. And we're asking God when we do that, that there would be peace on earth and he would judge the wicked and get rid of all of that, and there would be peace in Jerusalem. Christ will rule from the throne of David, and there will be finally, ultimately, peace on earth. Now, this, I think, is an answer to those prayers, and especially to the suffering saints of the tribulation. The angelic representation, as we look in verse 5, the angel that he mentioned, not one of the seven, but a separate angel, took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar. Who is this angel? Many believe that this is representative, an angelic representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears there as a lamb, and now perhaps a representation of Christ right here. He's serving here, if you see him, as a mediator in his role, and he is serving as the role of a priest on this occasion. So it very well could be speaking. Nobody knows dogmatically for sure, but we know that Christ did appear in the Old Testament on numerous occasions as an angel of Jehovah. So it could be a reference to this angelic representation of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and there is judgment that is going to be poured out. And so he offers that, takes these coals and throws them down to the earth, the hot coals that speak of the fire and the wrath of God. Now we see the first trumpet that sounds in verse 7. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, of those back to the seven angels that had that special job that God had given them, and there followed hail and fire. Try to get a picture of this, what it's saying. Hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, that's not a fairy tale, folks. It's going to happen. The first of these four trumpets, and they're the ones we'll get through today, we hope, are all natural disasters that they're talking about. The land is impacted, the salt water is impacted, the fresh water is impacted, and the heavenly bodies are impacted. So all of these natural things are impacted by these judgments. Now, this judgment is literal. It's really going to happen. It's a literal judgment. This one is like the seventh plague that was brought upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And, of course, you can go back and study and read about that. It's also one of the plagues that was prophesied by Joel in Joel 2:30, where he talked about blood and hail and the judgment of God's wrath coming upon the earth. Now, what's going to happen? One-third of the trees and one-third of all the grass is destroyed. Then the blood probably comes from the fact that the hail also destroyed men and the animals. It's going to be a very traumatic time on the earth. It really is going to happen. And all of the green vegetation is going to be impacted. Now think of what will happen when that happens, the food supply. Think of how it's going to impact that. And think of the grass and the grazing, the cattle, the meat. Some of you are going to have a steak after we get out of here today. And Brother Tyler's going to end right on time. And we're going to rush out to the restaurant and get a steak. And we're going to enjoy that. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Might be a hamburger to In-N-Out. But at any rate, it's all going to be impacted. All of it's going to be impacted. The things are going to take place. The food supply, milk industry, meat. And that's just touching the surface of it. Just imagine what would happen if one-third of the trees and one-third of all the grass is going to be impacted like that. No wonder there's going to be great, great judgment of God. So that's the first trumpet, the first one of the seventh seal. Now the second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain. He didn't say it was a great mountain, but like a great mountain, as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. What he's talking about is some large object, like a mountain, not a mountain as such, but like a mountain, is cast into the sea. And what's going to happen because of that? Well, the results are devastating again. Look at it. A third of the sea, the salt water, becomes blood. Can you imagine a third of the sea becoming blood? The ocean covers three-fourths of the world's surface. Three-fourths of it. And so just imagine when a third of the ocean, and I think it's not just the Mediterranean Sea he's talking about here, but one-third of the world's surface, the ocean. And then a third of the sea creatures die. Now think of the economic and ecological devastation that's going to come, disaster, because of that. A third of the sea becomes blood, the salt water, a third of the sea creatures die, a third of ships are destroyed. One third of ships is destroyed. That means 24,000, there are over 24,000 ocean-going merchant ships right now, over 24,000 of them that are just merchant. We're talking about merchant ships, and one-third of those destroyed. That's 8,289 of the last statistics probably that are available of 24,000 ocean-going merchant ships are going to be destroyed. There again, just think. The economic blast is going to come. The ecological problems and disasters that it will present. It's going to be a judgment, the wrath of God. The first trumpet, the second trumpet. Now we move to the third trumpet, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. the sources of water, upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. What is he talking about? The rivers and fountains of waters are affected and contaminated. The falling star has a contaminating effect and influence on this. Now in verse 11 we have the word wormwood. And we're sort of familiar with that. It can mean bitterness. The English word is absinthe. A-B-S-I-N-T-H-E. Absinthe. There's in some countries a liquor named absinthe. It's named after that because it literally means undrinkable liquor. And this is undrinkable water. It affects all of this water, and it's undrinkable. And not only does it affect people, you see, where he's talking about it, the third part of the waters became wormwood. Many men died of the waters. They'll go ahead and drink it, but they're going to die. And then, because these waters were made busy, you think, made bitter, you think of all the people who are going to die. Think of all the sea creatures that are going to die. All the fish, all the other animals that are going to die. It's going to be a terrible time, a devastating time that's going to take place. All right, let's look quickly at the fourth trumpet. Verses 12 and 13, the trumpet sounding, the wrath of God being poured out. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. Think of that. And the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants. Judgment, judgment, judgment. Wrath, wrath, wrath to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Which are yet to sound. Now, this corresponds with the ninth plague that was poured out upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians during that time. And if you can imagine one-third of these things happening, the impact that it's going to have, the effect is going to be on the entire world. These different things will be impacted by one-third, but the impact of that one-third will impact the whole earth. It's going to affect the whole earth. And the sun, of course, we know is our source of energy and what it supplies us with and what it means to us here on the earth. Amos 5:18, he's referring to the day of the Lord, and he says the day of the Lord's darkness. He calls that part of the judgment darkness. And so this relates to the heavens themselves, something that's going to happen up in the heavens. The sun, the moon, the stars were eclipsed one-third of the time. One-third of the time. And, of course, that's going to have an impact. This will cut down on production. Many of those things that would impact is going to take place. Now, notice the emphasis that he gives in this last verse where he says there are three more yet to sound. And he says, woe, woe, woe. And why stop there? Why make that statement? Well, I think what he is saying is this. If you think these first four have been bad, just wait. If you think the first four things are really tough, just wait till the next three trumpets are going to sound. Wait till these woes are poured out on the earth and all of that. Now, we know that these first four are going to be terrible, and they're going to impact the world. They're going to impact everything. This is during the tribulation period. And it's part of it. And these things are going to happen. God's going to begin pouring out his wrath, pouring out these judgments upon the earth. Oh, yes, God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath. And we must remember that his holiness is also as much of his personality as his wrath and as his grace. All of these things. God is a God of love. God is a God of wrath. And if people don't accept his grace and his mercy and his love, they will face the wrath of Almighty God. If you're saved today, I'm sure you're glad you're saved, aren't you? Where are we going to be during that time? We're not going to be at the White House or any other place. We're going to be in heaven. Amen. We'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ because of his grace, because we're saved. So it's difficult perhaps for us to get a hold of this, wrap our arms around it in this day of grace that these catastrophic judgments are going to come. For us to imagine this may be difficult. But I can tell you the Word of God is very plain. The Word of God is absolutely true. Men are called everywhere to avail themselves of God's grace. When? Before it's too late. That's why we need to go out and win our loved ones to the Lord and anybody else we can. Because if we don't, and they get in the tribulation and they've heard the gospel, they're going to face some of these things. They're going to see some of this. And children and adults and others are going to go through it. Because God's going to pour out his wrath. I thank God today I'm born again. I thank God that one of these days I won't hear these trumpets, but I'll hear the trump of the Lord, and I'll be raptured and taken out of here, and so will you if truly you're born again. Let's pray. Father, we know you're a God of mercy and love, and you proved that when Jesus died and you gave your Son to die for us. We know you love us, but we also know you're a God of justice, and you cannot do away with that part of your makeup and your attributes. You're a God of justice. Therefore, you must be a God of wrath. And I thank you, God, that we don't have to go through these times. And I pray that people would see that and know and be motivated and moved even today, that we might be faithful to witness to friends and loved ones and get them saved before it's too late for them, before they have to go through the tribulation. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.